Shadow Falls Badlands. The story so far. Miles Lawton's attraction to the place where the Majestic's traveling party were slaughtered has grown over the past 7 years, to the point where the killing field now calls to him. But to his surprise, his summoning has brought him to do battle with the spirit known as the Wolf, a battle spanning centuries over who controls the realm of death. It's a fight Miles is very unprepared for, and only survives by tricking Allison into helping him sacrifice the lives of others. Chapter 22. Nana grabbed Galen by the hair and stared deeply into his eyes. And though she held it back as much as possible, the tears welled up inside, began to flow down her cheeks as she continued to tell the tale from over a lifetime ago, back when she used to be Allison Lawton.
I huddled under a fallen tree and spent the night in the woods, trembling with unbelievable fear, terrified of what was waiting for me out there, terrified of what would find me if I even made a sound. She said, swallowing hard, her breath hitching slightly. And when daybreak came, I had to know if anyone was left. I walked the path back to the settlement in a complete daze. And when I got there, my worst fears had been realized. Every single person there was... Her voice trailed off. Slaughtered,
Galen whispered as his mind flashed upon the terrible images of the aftermath at Sagebrush.
Not just slaughtered, Nina said angrily.
She could see it now as clear as if it were yesterday.
Ripped to pieces!
As Allison stepped into the clearing where she could see the church, the scent in the air had struck her. Into her nostrils flowed the pungent fragrance of decay and death, of blood and rotting flesh. Tentatively, she moved forward step by step, willing herself to continue, even though every fiber in her body cried out for her to run screaming back into the woods, as far away from this place. But continue she did, trying to find someone alive. Anyone. In her mind, she clung on to this hope. But all at once, she felt that hope shatter inside her the moment she stumbled upon Father Henri. The priest had been dragged, his legs and head removed. Around his neck was his white collar, bloodied and ragged. And still clutched in his cold, dead fingers was his crucifix. From the massive bite wounds, it appeared that the beasts who had attacked the father had tried to pry the tiny cross from his hands. But it was the one thing Henri had not given up. There had been others. All the people Allison grew up with, the women who had helped raise her, lay eviscerated, their innards left dragging behind. She turned over body after body, looking for any signs of life, and found none. Some were barely recognizable, given what little flesh the coyotes had left behind. She turned away, only to see the young man. Carl had been the boy who had found both her and Miles in the woods all those years ago. He had been Odile's secret boyfriend, a romance they had kept hidden for fear of what their parents would think. The only person who Odile had confided in about her relationship with Carl was Allison, and it had only been recently, since they had both come of age, that they were willing to reveal their secret love. Allison looked down at Carl, his throat slashed so deeply that she was certain his end came quickly, as did Odile's. At least that's what Allison hoped, that they didn't suffer much, and that somehow They would now be together, forever walking hand in hand into the setting sun. And as she collapsed and fell to the ground sobbing, Allison felt the wail of inconsolable loss come from the deepest parts of her soul. "I failed," she thought to herself. She had come all the way back here to find Father Henri, as Miles had asked her to do. "Miles," she whispered. Something had taken control of his body and was killing him from the inside. And now without Father Henri to help, Allison feared the worst for her brother.
"I'm all alone," she thought.
Her family, her friends had all been killed. They had all been murdered by beasts Allison knew in her heart were creatures of supernatural intent, and not beings of God's making. And there was a good chance, at least in her mind, that they could possibly come back looking for her. But they had seen her. She recalled the moment they killed Odile, and not so much as even touched her. And by way of the one that had looked back at her before rushing off with the pack toward the settlement, they had acknowledged her. Deep inside, Allison knew that if she chose to run, they could find her, if they so wanted. However, she would still do it. If they were to come for her, it would be at her back. With the palms of her hands, she wiped the tears from her eyes and got to her knees. The wind shifted slightly, and the smell of death and decay filled her nostrils again. Above, crows began to light in the trees around the clearing, and their incessant cawing grew louder, to the point of being maddening.
"I have to go now," Allison thought. "I can't watch these birds pick apart my friends for their dinner."
Entering the house of one of the women who had helped take care of her, Allison found a wicker basket with a handle. From their kitchen, she took a half a loaf of bread and a towel. On her way out, she saw a water skin hanging on a nail by the door. She considered it for a moment before taking that as well. Given how light it was, there was no surprise when she removed the cork to find it empty. She would go to fill it, then leave this place forever. As she approached the well, her mind started playing tricks on her, imagining that as she neared, one of the beasts would spring out from within and attack her. With each step, her chest tightened, and as she stood at the edge looking down, she almost expected to find a pair of those glowing yellow eyes staring back at her. But all that was there was complete darkness. Allison took the wooden bucket and made sure the rope was attached to the handle before dropping it down into the well, where it vanished for a brief moment before she heard it splash into the water below. Wrapping the line around her small hands, she began pulling up the rope. The bucket indeed felt full, and she strained from the extra weight. She brought in the rope hand over hand, the way Father Henri had taught her. But with each passing moment, the bucket seemed heavier than the last. Again she peered over the edge, wondering if the bucket or the line had caught on anything. And for a moment she shuddered, thinking of the possibility that one of the settlers had tried to escape the coyotes by jumping down the well, and the resistance she felt on the line was from their dead weight. But there was nothing to be seen other than the rope disappearing into the darkness. Allison continued pulling up the bucket, pushing the morbid thoughts from her mind, while trying to figure out where she would attempt to go. The father had mentioned another settlement far off to the west, but Allison couldn't remember which direction that was.
"Is it where the sun rises, or the sun sets?"
she wondered,
and then suddenly she felt the push on her back. Instantly she was off her feet and tumbling headfirst into the darkness of the well, falling for what seemed like minutes before crashing down into the water below. Beneath the surface, her head smashed against the stone lining of the well. And as she cried out, her mouth filled with water. Struggling, she made it to the surface, gasping for breath, and coughing from the water which she had painfully sucked into her lungs. Her head buzzed, and her ears rang from the blow, and it was moments before her eyes came back into focus. And then she saw him.
"Miles?"
she called out, recognizing him. Standing more than 20 feet above her, looking down from the edge, was her brother. But he made no movement or effort to do anything to help her.
"Miles!"
she called out again. Even with the light behind his head and his face in shadow, she could tell it was him, the sibling she'd spent her whole life with.
"They're all dead," Miles said. "Help me, Miles!"
Allison called out frantically, treading in the deep water.
"And they died so that I shall live,"
he told her, his voice echoing down upon her, falling as cold as winter rain.
"For the selfless sacrifice of their lives, help me survive to fight again."
"Selfless!"
cried Allison.
"They were murdered!"
"They were fulfilling their purpose, dear sister. Why do you think God, in all his infinite wisdom, chose to put them here?"
Miles mocked.
"They were like seedlings that had been sown to be reaped at my needing."
Just then a horrifying thought came to Allison, at the very same moment Miles verbalized it in his own words.
"And it was you, dear sister, who I asked them to follow in order to find this place. You led them here."
Tears fell down Allison's cheeks as his words cut into her like knives. She knew every bit of it was true.
"I asked them to spare you," he continued. "I was going to let you live, but I've been badly injured, and I fear that it will take one more sacrifice to give me the strength I need to keep going."
Her breath caught in her throat as she tried to speak. The cold water had begun to numb her arms and legs.
"This is my sacrifice too, Allison, for I do love you,"
he said. And then he was gone.
"Miles!"
Allison whispered as her teeth began to chatter. The hypothermia was setting in quickly. She could barely kick her legs. Moments later, she could sense the shadow from above and looked up. Once again, Miles peered over the edge.
"I don't want you to be alone down there. I brought you some company,"
he called down to her. From below, she could see him lift something over the edge of the well before dropping it down. Momentarily, it blocked the light from above as it fell, splashing violently into the water just next to her, causing her to jump back against the wet stone inside of the well. The object Miles dropped bobbed once before righting itself, and in the dim light, Allison could see the bloodied face belonging to the limbless torso floating next to her. Her sudden shriek filled the well, echoing upwards into the sky, where it floated ignored into the heavens. Again, Miles pushed something over the edge, and another corpse of a sacrifice victim plummeted down toward her.
Gathering her strength, she screamed for him to stop. But her pleas were ignored. Still another body came down. And with nowhere to go at the bottom of the well, Allison could only close her eyes and wait for the impact. Miles whistled as one by one he gathered up the shredded bodies of those who had been sacrificed in his name and tossed what was left of them down the well. Within minutes, he couldn't hear her voice anymore from inside the pitch-black darkness. And sometime before nightfall, he had neatly disposed of the remains of everyone in the settlement before leaving. Nina's eyes were full of anger. And what Galen could see were tears welled up inside that she was using all of her will to hold back.
So you see, if it is that land, the cursed killing fields of Shadow Falls that are calling out to you, summoning you to return, then the only thing you will leave in your wake is death and suffering.
And with her words, she withdrew a dagger from underneath her cloak and pulled back on Galen's hair as she held the blade to his throat.
And there's no way I can allow that to happen again, she told him.
Galen shut his eyes. At her hands, his deliverance would be swift and merciful. His journey would end here.
But as she brought the knife back to plunge into his throat, the pockmarked face man called out frantically, "Someone's coming down the road! Someone's coming down the road!"
And as if it were in the air, Nina froze in sudden fear and looked directly at Galen, for he sensed it too. Miles had found them. And that is chapter 22 of Shadow Falls Badlands. I believe the end is near, so don't miss a single moment of the last few chapters coming up. As always, I want to hear from you. Send me a comment to shadowfalls@podshowla.com. And let's not forget our buddy Monk for the Shadow Falls Badlands Part 3 theme song, I Am, Molly's Theme. The acoustic version, which you can find at music.podshow.com. There are indeed dark days ahead, my friends. But until then, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, fading to black.
I just begun. I was dead. That swings both ways, never asks my name. I am here, I am near, I am there while you're sleeping. I am light, I am night, I am therefore I'm breathing. Soft, my words are floating off. Look for my sign.